Why big data and why now? Dr. Chris Sullivan with the University of Cincinnati School of Criminal Justice explains why.
It's been a few decades in the making, but recently sort of the coupling of the availability of more data and then also probably analytic tools and computing power that can really crunch those numbers.
Those numbers are helping courts in Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and about 17 other states predict whether defendants should be released while they await trial and how long their sentences will be. Kentucky uses a pretrial assessment called PSA Court, developed by the Laura and John Arnold Foundation. General Manager of the Kentucky Pretrial Services, Tara Clutie, says her staff goes into jails and interviews defendants that are newly arrested. The PSA questionnaire takes about 1 to 3 minutes.
We basically only ask their contact information, and that's important to us because we want to know how to get in touch with them if they were to fail to appear to court. So we get contact information. We do get like the highest level of education, email address, phone number. Employment, we ask if they're currently working, but we don't verify their employment like we used to.
Clutie says that information is not given to the judge, so his or her decision is objective. The judge looks at the data showing the defendant's criminal record. It's unclear if other states use information like race and socioeconomic status in sentencing data. That's something that concerns outgoing Attorney General Eric Holder. He spoke about it in this interview with PBS's Gwen Ifill.
And I worry a little about, I guess, what we have come to call the use of big data by some of the states, and especially how it's used on what we call the front end, when you're trying to make determinations about what sentence a person should receive. If you are basing a sentence on something other than the conduct of the person who was involved and the person's record. If you're looking, for instance, at factors of what educational level the person has received, what neighborhood the person comes from.
And to be clear, some states are doing
they
already.
Are. Right. And using that as a predictor, though, of how likely it is this person, this individual, is going to be a recidivist. I'm not at all certain that I'm comfortable with that, using kind of group data to make an individualized determination, I think can result in fundamental unfairness.
What information is being used is also of concern to UC's Dr. Sullivan. He says people have spent years trying to get things like race out of the judicial system.
And so the question is this sort of another way that these might seep into the process under sort of the notion of it being an evidence-based approach to sentencing? But essentially, a lot of the factors that are going to come into play are going to be criminal history factors, but there are other factors, and their utility is going to depend on, are you using this to drive sentencing decisions or decisions about maybe where to place an offender as far as treatment needs goes? So it's going to depend a bit on what types of decisions are being made with that information.
The people who created the PSA court tool that Kentucky uses say it is constitutional and it doesn't take into account things that are problematic like race. The Laura and John Arnold Foundation say the purpose is to improve decision-making in the criminal justice system to increase public safety, improve efficiency, and promote the fair administration of justice. The program is free, and every month the foundation gets Kentucky's data to analyze it. Courts have been collecting data for decades. Sullivan wants to know what's the value added with big data.
You know, these can be better than using hunches. But the question is how much and what level do you have to achieve before you really would say that they're pretty valid and reliable as decision-making tools.
DataNami, a big data publication, reports cases involving sex offenders where data analysis was used were far more accurate in predicting future behavior and length of a sentence than psychiatric opinions or parole board decisions. Kentucky reports a 15% decrease in crime among defendants on pretrial release. The Commonwealth continues to get calls from other states interested in modeling Kentucky for pretrial assessment. A bill requiring risk assessments nationally is working its way through Congress. Sullivan cautions states not just to do it the Moneyball way, putting the system on autopilot crunching numbers. He says human discretion is needed when somebody's life hangs in the balance. Ann Thompson, 91.7 WVXU.